It was like that when I got there.
Sure, you should wear those Crocs. They look amazing on you.
A great way to tell how well you're going to get along with a new friend is tell them how much you love Taylor Swift.
The easiest way to get rid of that check engine light is to cover it with electrical tape.
Working too hard? Need some extra breaks at work? Take up a new habit like smoking.
Never let the facts get in the way of a good hunch.
Well, good morning, Friendship. How are we doing this morning? My name is Andy. I'm one of the elders here at Friendship, as Pastor Dave mentioned. I'm also a small group leader. If any of you maybe have already signed up for my small group, quick shout out, One League small group people out here. Yes. I also serve on the welcome team here, so you may see me out in the parking lot from time to time, running around or at the front door. Sometimes I'm hidden in a ski mask when it gets really cold out there, too. My wife works full-time and is in classes full-time for getting a degree. I work as a physical therapist. I also manage about 10 people. We have two small kids at home. They're in school. They run around, and they have a whole bunch of other activities outside of school. Life gets crazy and busy sometimes. Anybody else feel crazy and busy in their life? Throwing the car breaking down, the water heater going out, some illness, some sickness, which I've been dealing with for a few weeks here, so bear with me if I get a little nasally on you here this morning. But life can be hard, can it? There's a lot going on. It can be very difficult. So today we're going to be talking about, you know, finding some shortcuts through life to maybe make life easier, right? Life wasn't always designed to be hard, was it? Maybe it should just be easier. So some of those are life hacks. So Pastor Dave shared a few helpful life hacks with you. Since we're divvying out some of the worst advice we can think of, I did find a few life hacks for you that might not be quite as helpful, but I'll let you guys be the judge of those. So the first one, you're in an argument with somebody, whether it's your spouse, a significant other, even a friend or a parent, and you know they're getting mad at you. Maybe you completely screwed up and you know they're rightfully mad at you. Well, you don't have the time for the argument. You know, the big game's coming on here in a little while. You don't have time to deal with this argument right over. You just need it to be over as quickly as possible because it's too much work. So since they're already mad at you, just grab a superhero cape, put it around their neck, and just exclaim, hey, now you're super mad, right? That might end the argument pretty quickly. It might end in your death, too, but, you know, well, at least the argument's over. So there's a good life hack to save you some time. Or maybe, you know, life's so busy you don't get enough time to sleep at night. So you're not getting enough hours of Z's and you need to catch up on sleep. Where can you do that? Well, maybe at work or at school or even here this morning, maybe if you find yourself dozing off to catch a few extra Z's to catch that time. But then you're afraid you're going to get in trouble, right? If you fall asleep at work, your boss is going to be mad. If you fall asleep at school, you know, the professor is going to get upset with you. So make sure when you fall asleep, you just practice dozing off going forward, so whenever your boss goes to wake you up or the professor comes over and, you know, knocks on your head and be like, why are you sleeping in my class? What you want to make sure is don't jump up quickly. Just slowly raise your head. Don't open your eyes yet. Just slowly raise your head and just say, in Jesus' name, amen. And, man, you cannot get in trouble if you're praying, right? So life hack has just saved you a little time from getting in trouble. Now, for added effect, too, you know, you can cross the arms here or the hands just for the added effect. Now, those may not be super helpful, but they could save you a little time, and you can, you know, multitask a little bit with those. But sometimes life really is hard. We want great things out of life, but they sometimes seem too difficult to get to. So that's why we're going to learn a little bit about making 2018 an easier year for you. If we have some bad advice for you, we'll just take the easy way out this year. So the first life hack I have for you is to just wing it. First life hack for this morning is to just wing it. So this is going to go for the free spirits out there, the ones of you who like to float around with no real plan in life. Just take wherever the waves of life will get you. Just end up wherever you end up. Because planning, let's face it, it's hard. Those of you ever tried to maybe just even plan a vacation, that's a lot of work, right? First, you got to figure out even what you want to do and where you want to go and who you want to invite. How are you going to get there? Do you need a passport? Do you need identification? Do you need this? What are you going to pack? Do you have enough clothes? Do you have enough suitcases? Do you have any suitcases? It's a lot of work. It could be difficult. And that's just a vacation, let alone trying to plan things in your life that really matter a little bit more. Well, when I was in college, my sophomore year, we decided to take a spring break trip down to Florida. So most people, when they plan a trip, they plan a trip. We pretty much decided at the last minute we were just going to go. We didn't plan anything. We literally just got in the car and left. We didn't rent a hotel room. We didn't do anything. We decided, hey, we know people that'll be down there. Certainly it'll work out just fine for us. So we got to Florida, and all of a sudden we hit our first pitfall. There's nowhere to park. You can't park a car anywhere in this resort area. All the hotels require you to be a guest and have a parking pass or you get towed. All the restaurants and the businesses, you can't park there overnight. You know, you'll get towed right away. They don't have any public parking on the main strip in the area we were at. Literally, there was nowhere we could park for the entire week. So our no planning vacation now required us to come up with some kind of a plan. We literally got nowhere. So we called a few friends that were staying at some hotels there, and then we found our second problem. All the hotel managers there were a lot smarter than us college students that were coming down there for spring break. Evidently, college kids were known for just packing into these rooms and not paying or trying to save money by putting, you know, 50 people in one room. So the hotels required you to wear a wristband when you went in to the property. They didn't allow guests to go in. And this was across the board, all the places we called. So not only we had nowhere to park, now we had nowhere we could even go crash unless we wanted to sleep in the car and then just get towed somewhere. So our vacation literally went nowhere. So at this point, we had two options. We either had to come up with a plan or just immediately turn around and drive all the way back up to Indiana. So we pooled our money together and realized we would have enough for a hotel for the week. And luckily, we were able to find a hotel that actually had an open room because it was spring break time and everybody was packed. So literally, our non-planning vacation got us nowhere. So that's my advice for you if you just want to wing it. If you want to get nowhere in life, then don't plan. Just wing it. You can get nowhere, right? Well, in Proverbs 14:8, it says, "The sensible man's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of fools deceives them." So we want to be sensible. We want to be wise. We're going to consider our way. We're going to think about where it is we want to go and how it is we want to get there. That sounds an awful lot like a plan to me. So evidently, if you want to be wise, you want to be sensible, you should have some kind of a plan going somewhere. Now, the stupidity of fools deceiving them, well, that's exactly what happened to us when we went to Florida. You know, our stupidity thinking we could just show up and everything would work out, that deceived us pretty quickly, and we ended up getting nowhere. But planning your life's a little more difficult than it is just planning a vacation, right? What kind of a person do you want to be? What kind of a person has God called you to be? What kind of a person are you want your kids to be when they grow up? You know, you have to have a plan in place for these things to get them to move forward, to get people or to get yourself where you need to be, or even for your career. You know, you can't get to the end of the career without a path to get yourself there. What if you don't know which way to go? What if you don't know what God's really calling you to do? Well, if you look back in Proverbs at 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." So God didn't hang us out to dry either. He's going to show us where to go. When you get lost, when you don't know what to do, turn to God, read his word, get advice from people who seem like they have a somewhat general idea of where they're going and how they came to do that. God has a lot of guidelines in place to help get us to where we need to go and to plan. So sometimes just winging it might be the easy way through life, but it may not be the right way through life. So when things get hard, don't always look to take that shortcut. Always, you know, look to make a plan out of it to get yourself moving forward. So just winging it is our first life hack. So my second life hack today is to make your own rules. I'm going to make your own rules. Now, if you want to substitute the word rules out and put instructions or directions, we're going to be kind of talking about the same kind of thing here. This is the one that I think I struggle with the most. I've always been a little bit rebellious. I've always not wanted to listen to other people or take advice. I always wanted to really do things my way. There's always a sense of pride. If I did it my way without taking advice, hey, you know, I did something, I accomplished something. I wanted to be my own man, you know. And sometimes that worked out for me and sometimes not. But hey, when I'm making my own rules, they are pretty easy to follow. I don't, you know, make any rules that I don't like. So unlimited cake, great rule. I could follow that rule, right? So my advice to you is if you like dealing with consequences, then don't follow God's directions and make up your own rules. Consequences come when we make up our own rules. So when we moved into our house about 11 years ago, we had our house built. We bought some appliances to put in, and I'd never really installed appliances before, but they seem pretty easy. It's on an electric home, so we didn't have to worry about gas lines. So literally the stove, you just have to plug in and slide in. That was pretty simple. And the refrigerator, that turned out pretty simple too. You plug it in, there's a little water line to hook up the ice maker and stuff, so you just hook that up, good to go. The dishwasher, we had a few extra things to hook up, and my wife encouraged me to look at the instructions that came with it or to look some videos up on YouTube of how to do it. And I'm like, I got this. This is easy. There's electrical connections to hook up. I got that, right? Now you're thinking I got electrocuted, right? That didn't happen. I did that before, so I did learn to turn the breaker off, so don't worry about that. I did that one the hard way, too. the water line leading into the dishwasher, and then also there's a drain hose. And then we had a garbage disposal put into our sink when we moved in. So when you're hooking the dishwasher up, you just hook that drain hose up to the side of the garbage disposal, clamp it down, good to go. So I called my wife over to show her my handiwork. You know, we had an oven that worked, and we had a refrigerator that worked. It was, you know, getting nice and cold for our food. And we had a dishwasher hooked up, ready to go. So I turned the dishwasher on, and hear the water coming in. Everything's working great. There's nothing leaking. I checked all connections. Everything looks good. Flip the knob over to the wash cycle. You can hear the little jets in there spinning around, spraying the water, and everything's going perfectly because, you know, I know how to hook dishwashers up. Then you hook it up to finally switch over to the drain cycle. Next thing you know, water flying out from under the sink everywhere in the kitchen. I mean, it was shooting out like a hose, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. So I go in, slam the dishwasher off. What the heck is going on here? So I look under there, and the drain hose had blown completely off of the garbage disposal. So after my wife gets mad because I didn't look instructions up, I went up and got half the towels in the house and came down and cleaned up my, you know, stupid water mess that I had everywhere. And then all of my infinite wisdom, I decided against her advice to look up instructions at this point to just do the exact same thing I did before. Hook the hose back up, put the clamp on, and for some reason I expected different results this time, and I'm not sure why. But anyways, same thing happened. As soon as we got to the drain cycle, a gush of water came flying out again. So now I had every towel in the house, in the kitchen, soaking up water, and some consequences to deal with at this point. So I decided at this point to either face bodily harm and keep doing this or to look up instructions. So once I finally looked them up, in case you don't know, if you're ever hooking a dishwasher up to your garbage disposal, there's a little plastic piece inside the garbage disposal. So if you don't have a dishwasher hooked up, when you put food through the disposal, it doesn't shoot out the hole. It literally, all it took was taking a screwdriver and a hammer to just tap that thing out, and it opened up the drain hose. It actually took me longer to find the screwdriver it did to knock the stupid thing out. All this time, all this energy, my wife getting mad at me and all the extra laundry I had to do and cleaning up the big mess I made just because I was too stubborn to do things the right way. I wanted to do them my way. So, hey, I did it my way, but there were some consequences with that. So if you like consequences, let's do that. And you also want to think about who's giving you the directions. So when I'm looking these up, I wasn't going to go turn and ask a child how to hook a dishwasher up, right? I went to and found videos of how to actually do this from handymen online. I'm not going to ask, you know, a child how to do this. You want to consider who's giving you the directions too before you just ask everybody out there. So the Israelites dealt with this throughout their time in the Old Testament. Let's look back to Exodus 25, 8, 9. It says, "Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you." So exactly according to the pattern I show you. It sounds like he's about to drop this big plan on them and some rules and some instructions for what they're supposed to do. So if you go back and read through Exodus 25 and 26, you're going to see the intricate detail that God wanted this tabernacle to have. I mean, it is completely outrageous, some of the stuff he was asking them to do. I mean, they had to do this by hand. They didn't have fancy tools and things that we have now. For example, for the main area around this big thing, he wanted like a tent-like structure around it, so he wanted some curtains made. And then they had to be 42 foot long and 6 foot tall. So that's a pretty darn big curtain. It's not like one you're going to hang up in your house. And they needed 10 of these to get all the way around. So that's 420 feet of curtain. So I added up the square footage of that and put it down on the floor, and you'll actually get more than half of a basketball court size of curtains. And they had to do this by hand. They had to shear all their sheep with whatever scissors or rudimentary tools they had, somehow spin this into yarn and hand do this. I mean, what are the man hours? I mean, how many sheep would it take to do all this? I don't even know. But then he wanted them to dye it as well. You know, you can't just have plain white curtains. They have to be colorful, right? He wanted red dyes and blue dyes and purple dyes. Now, the red dye they made from insects that he had to get and crush up. And actually, we still use bugs as red dye this day. So if you eat something that's dyed red with natural colors, it's probably bugs if it's red. Just throwing that out there for you. But the purple dye was the one that was the most ridiculous. The purple dye came from a little snail you found out in the Mediterranean Sea, and you had to catch these little snails, you had to crush them, and then you get a little pointed tool, and you pull the vein out of this little shrimp or snail, and then you crush that down, and you get this little tiny bit of purple dye. So by their estimates, it took over 8,000 of these little snails to dye just the hem of one garment. So if you're looking at just maybe the very edge of a shirt or something, that took 8,000 of these little snails. So to dye half of a basketball court with this purple dye, you're probably in the millions of snails. So I hope you like seafood if you're planning on, you know, building one of these things. But these rules are just ridiculous. I mean, this is just a sample of what they had to do just for part of this tabernacle. There's lots of rules, lots of instructions. And I thought they were crazy looking through those, so you'd understand if the Israelites wanted to take a few shortcuts. I mean, when I look at IKEA instructions, I think I want to take a few shortcuts too, but those seem a little bit easier than what God's got in store for the Israelites. But if we look further down the Old Testament, as the Israelites were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, in Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28, it says, "Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You'll be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you've not known before." So they have an option. They get choices. If you want a blessing, you'll follow the commands. If you want a curse, you'll turn and do the opposite, and you won't follow them. That seems pretty black and white, you know. We face consequences when we don't do things the right way. And God's telling them straight up, hey, you know, if you don't do things the way I'm going to do, you're going to be cursed when you go into this land. Now, we can look at that and say, okay, but that's the Old Testament, right? They had a whole bunch of different rules. Once Jesus came along, he died for all that, so we don't have to live under all that. And for some of that, that's true. That's absolutely true. We're free from some of the rules and the laws of the Old Testament. You know, some of the foods we're allowed to eat and stuff, they weren't able to. But if we want to flip to the New Testament, right from the words of Jesus himself in John 14, 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands." I don't think it really gets any more straightforward than that. This is right from the mouth of Jesus. So when we don't listen to his instructions, we don't listen to his guidance, we don't listen to what he has to tell us, we're basically telling him, hey, we don't trust you with the decisions, and we know better on our own. My 7-year-old just found out why we told him not to touch hot pans all over the years, because a pan came right out of the oven. I think there were French fries on it. Of course, I get excited about French fries too, but He reached up, grabbed a French fry, touched the pan, and got a big burn right on the side of his arm. We've told him numerous times, do not touch things when they come out of the stove. You're going to get burned. It's going to get hurt. Would you like to get hurt and burned? No? Okay, good. Yet, his curiosity and his desire for a French fry overpowered our advice, and he still did it. But we do that all the time in our life, right? God tells us certain ways to do things, but we choose to do things another way. He has certain things we should do as husbands, we choose not to. As wives, we choose not to. As parents, and we choose not to. We're basically telling God we don't trust him. We don't trust what he has to say. But why does he even do this? Why does he give us all these rules and regulations? Well, it's based on a parent-child relationship is the best way we can understand it. You know, they refer to God as our heavenly father all the time, and we're his children. Well, they give us advice to avoid the consequences. If my 7-year-old had listened, he wouldn't have gotten a burn on his arm and gotten hurt, but he chose not to listen, and we can make that same choice. We can choose to do what Jesus said out of love for him, or we can also do the opposite. We can take the easy way out and do it our way, or we can follow God's rules, which are sometimes harder. Hopefully it doesn't involve killing a million little snails, but they can be harder. So a couple life hacks so far this morning is to just wing it and to make your own rules. Finally, the third life hack I have for you is to be all talk and no action. A good life hack here is to be all talk and no action. So when I was a freshman in college, we had a kid on my floor. He was a pre-med major. That just means you're taking classes to prepare you for medical school, to be a doctor someday. You take like anatomy, physiology, biology, chemistry. You know, there's a lot of fairly hard classes, but you have to know a lot of stuff to become a doctor someday. Well, his favorite thing to do when meeting people was tell people he was going to be a doctor someday. You know, it is fairly impressive, right? Say I'm a pre-med major. It sounds better than I'm an English major, I guess, right? It's a little more impressive. But he really loved to do that when he was meeting women, right? It's a great pickup line to say, hey, you know, someday I'm going to be a doctor, so I'm big-time material here. What he didn't like to do was go to class. So within the first semester, he was failed out of college. But for that semester, he had a great time talking about how awesome it was going to be a doctor, but he did nothing to actually get himself there. So his career path was now not very prosperous, but it was in poverty because he had none at this point, and he was probably going to end up working at McDonald's or somewhere instead of being a doctor at that point. So my advice to you is if you'd like to live in physical poverty, spiritual poverty, financial poverty, relational poverty, then don't actually do anything, just talk about it. The more you talk about it, you know, it sounds easy and it sounds great. Proverbs 14:23, there's profit in all hard work, but endless talk leads only to poverty. This is one of my favorite verses. I used to have this as my screensaver on my computer, floating around just as a good reminder that, you know, there is profit in all hard work. Even if you don't see it now, you might see it down the road. You can't not go to class and become a doctor. You can't not budget your money and somehow pay off all your debt. There's just certain things you can't accomplish in life. A few weeks ago, Josh shared with us some tips on setting goals for the year, and I hope, like we did as a family, you guys have set some goals for the year. And it's pretty easy just to write those goals down. It's easy to talk about those goals and say, this is what we're going to accomplish this year. This is the year I finally lose weight. Okay, well, are you actually going to do that? I mean, it requires a lot of exercise and watching what you're eating and more trips to the grocery store to get the correct foods and counting calories. There is a lot of hard work. It's easier just to talk about it and say, yeah, you know, I'm going to lose weight this year and then fizzle out by, you know, the middle of February and then you're done. Hey, I don't even have to talk about it now. That was easy. So the easy way out may not get you anywhere, but it's easier when you're just talking about it. In James 1:22, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. So without actually doing something, we're just fooling ourselves. We can talk a big game all we want, but in the end, we're just fooling ourselves if we're not willing to put in the hard work that it takes to get there. We all want a great marriage. Are you willing to put the work in to it to keep that marriage functioning? We all want to be great parents. Are we willing to do the work that it takes to raise our kids, or do we want to take the easy way out? We all want to be financially stable, right? Are we willing to take the work to, you know, work hard, to budget, to not spend when we're not supposed to? Are we willing to do those things, or do we just want to talk about those things and then make excuses when they don't work? So with all these life hacks, we've come to a great piece of advice here. So my worst advice for you today, or the big idea for today, is to ensure a life of little prosperity, take many shortcuts. To ensure a life of little prosperity, take many shortcuts. Now, Pastor Dave talked last week with a verse. When they talk about prosperity and poverty, they're not always talking about finances. Certainly, it's going to apply to finances. This will be in your relationships. This will be at your job. This will be with your kids. This is your spiritual life. This is all-encompassing. And in Proverbs 21:5, it says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. The hard work, the planning, following the rules, getting the instructions from people, that's going to lead you to prosperity. Otherwise, we're going to end up in poverty. When we started this morning, I mentioned we all want to do and be great things. However, they don't just magically materialize. You can't just shortcut your way to anything great. So in your relationships, are you willing to plan what kind of a husband or a wife or a friend you want to be? Are you willing to take instructions from God and from other people who have their relationships together? And are you willing to put in the hard work? With your kids, are you willing to be a great parent? Not just talk about being a great parent, but actually putting in the work to be a great parent? Spending the time to learn what it is from God and from other people that have their parenting together, and actually make a plan for what you want your kids to be. How are you going to get your kids to be the people that God created them to be? We all want great financial security. Are we willing to plan that, follow wise instruction and counsel, and do the work? And we all want a great relationship with God, don't we? But it takes more than just showing up to church on Sunday and then doing nothing for the rest of our time. We have to plan out what God has in store for us, do the things that he asks of us, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy, and we can't shortcut our way out of that. So let's spend the year in 2018 planning for the wonderful future that God has in store for us. Let's live our daily lives God's way instead of our own way. And let's put in the hard work that it takes instead of just talking about it. Will you pray with me this morning? God, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity we had today to come together as a church family, to worship you, to spend time with you, and to hear your word. God, we're thankful for the plans that you have for our life. And God, I just want to pray that we're able to see those plans and we can look to you for those plans. And we won't try to do it on our own. God, I want to pray that we can look to your word and thank you for your word that gives us our direction and our instruction. And God, the ability you give us to actually work hard to accomplish those plans. God, I want to pray for everyone here today. Any of those that are in one of those hard moments of life where things just seem very, very difficult. I just pray that you can give them that encouragement not to take the shortcuts through life, but to actually keep it up, because there are blessings on the other side of that. God, you've promised us blessings if we don't take those shortcuts. And God, I pray that everybody here today can make plans for their lives and not just fly through by the seat of their pants. God, that we can take the instruction from you and from other people that seem to know what they're doing in those areas. And God, that we just all work hard in every area of our life. And God, we pray this in your name. Amen.